You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Mom life. We're surrounded with the message that it's the tired life, the no time for myself life, the hard life. And while it is hard and full of lots of servitude, the idea that motherhood means a joyless life is something I'm passionate about putting a stop to. I'm on a mission to help you stop counting down the minutes till bedtime. At least most days. I want you to stop cleaning up after your kid's childhood and start being present for it. Start enjoying it. I believe in John 10:10 that we are called to abundant life, and I know mothers are not excluded from that promise. Join me in conversations about simplicity, minimalism, and lots of other good stuff that leads to a life of less for the sake of enjoying more in your motherhood. I'm Ali Casaza, and this is The Purpose Show. Hi, friends. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be sitting in front of my microphone right now, seeing that it's on and recording and I get to talk to you. It's been such a full season in my business and my personal life, not so much, super like minimal and really chill because my business is so full right now and I am loving it. I'm like in one of those seasons where it's like I wake up in the morning and I look at my calendar and I see like all the things that I've got going on and I look at my task list and it's full of all these exciting new things I get to create. And I like jump out of bed with so much excitement and energy. I can't get ready fast enough because I just want to be in my office, like creating all these amazing new things. And it's full of like creating at my desk and then taking a walk and talking an idea out to myself in a voice memo and people walking by me and looking like I'm crazy. And it's like, it's just so full and so good. But it's been just kind of like a lot of behind the scenes at my desk work. And so I've just been feeling like I need to talk today. And I'm happy to be talking now because I haven't really spoken yet today and it's 12:30 p.m. So I'm just really excited to hang out with you guys. That's my point. I don't know why I'm rambling. Anyway, today we are going to get into something that has been on my mind a whole lot for a long time, for forever, but really lately, I think it's because I've just been like, I've been hanging out with a lot more moms lately, just like in different circumstances, from like at church and church functions and, I have this new routine with Emmett, my youngest, who's 5, where I've been taking him to the park once a week. And I've been, you know, meeting moms there and talking to them. And just I've kind of just been in it back in that space. And I wasn't really there for a while. So I think this is just coming up a lot for me because I'm hanging out with a lot of parents, a lot of women, a lot of moms in real life, not just online. And I want to talk about this because it is so important and it's on my nerves and it's a problem. And I am so done with us as humans, sometimes myself included, not realizing how powerful how we speak is. And, you know, whenever I talk about this, I always get a message like, well, I heard you cuss and I heard you say a bad word and you say crap and hell and you are so sarcastic all the time. So maybe you should take your own advice. That's fine. You cannot like the way I talk. I'm not here for everybody. But what I am saying is the way we speak, not exactly the specific words we use, although that is important and to each their own, but the way we are talking about things in our lives, the way we are speaking about the people in our lives, the way we speak that things are going to play out, that things are going to happen, it has an effect on your reality and it's so important. So today we've talked about words and all of that multiple times in the show. And if you're not sure what I'm talking about or you want to hear more about this topic, I will link to, I know there's at least one episode that I have done specifically on the power of words when it comes to our children. And I will link to that. So you just go to alicasaza.com/show notes/139. That will lead you to the show notes for this episode and you can see the other episode there. But I really want to dive deeply into that even more today and really get specific with like self-fulfilling prophecies that people speak out just like as cliches kind of all the time and the power in those words and what they do to our families. So, okay, I'm going to just kind of I have three in particular things that people say that talk about all the time. And I want to dive a little bit into each one because I know I'm not the only one who's heard these sayings thrown around. And I know I'm not the only one who's been kind of like a little bothered by it, or it's kind of made you think or feel like, ugh, I don't like that. That made me feel really sad or really low. And I just want to like talk about the power of words again. So, okay, we're going to go over like cliche, kind of self-fulfilling prophecy, things that people say offhand all the time. The first one is, it's kind of like a common saying. Maybe you've never heard it, but I definitely have. And it came up in conversation in my Facebook group, as well as on my Instagram. And then a mom at the park brought it up to me and was just talking to me about it. And I was like, okay, this is common and we need to talk about it. People saying things like, oh, a daughter is a daughter for life, but a son is only a son until he has a wife. Have you ever heard that? Or anything like that, anything about like, you know, your boys are going to like go away off with their wives and their families and leave you forever once they're married. I was hearing from a lot of different women online and in person that they were finding themselves kind of like guarding themselves from their boys and like not fully connecting with their sons kind of subconsciously in order to prevent future hurt when they get married and become distant. This is a very, very deeply embedded common belief about mothers who have sons. And as a mother with three sons, I hear it all the time. Like, oh, well, at least you have one girl. Because if you don't know this, my family looks like it's me and Brian. And then we have a daughter, Bella, and then three boys, Leland and Hudson and Emmett. And so people, you know, that one girl, three boys, people will say like, oh, at least you have one girl. She's it for you. She's going to be your bestie. She's going to be super close to you. And as those boys break your heart when they grow up and, you know, follow the woman of their life and things like that, anything like that is so negative and so ridiculous. I understand that people have seen truth to that in various scenarios and in various relationships, you know, families that they've seen, the kids grow up and that happens. It's not because it's a boy. It's because of a thousand other possible reasons. The relationship that the mother had with her son, the way that she parented, the way that she made him feel, the way that she spoke to him, the person that he married, the boundaries that boy has with his new wife, or lack thereof, the personality difference, so many things can contribute to that. And I think it's ridiculous and so negative and unhelpful when people say things like, oh, well, at least you have your girl because those boys, and once they get married, like that's it for you. Our daughter is a daughter for life, but a son is only a son until he has a wife. Get away from my family with those words. You will not speak that over my family and my future and their future. Things like that are self-fulfilling prophecies when they are spoken out by you as the parent. So if you are saying like, I'm so glad I at least have my daughter because my son is totally going to like ditch me when he gets married and that's going to break my heart. I don't want him to get married. Oh my God, I'm freaking out. He's going to get married and leave me. Self-fulfilling prophecy. You are, first of all, you're speaking that into existence, and just Google it. Our words have power. Our words change reality. They are very powerful. I believe that we are created by the ultimately powerful creator who spoke the universe and everything in other universes into existence. And we are made in his image. We are like him. And our words also have power. And when you say things like this, it matters. It's not nothing. Everyone has experienced feeling the power of words. Think about a time when somebody that you cared about said something very hurtful to you. It probably would still make you get emotional right now to think about that time, because words have power. Words alter relationships. They alter reality. They matter. So I just want to say, I want to call BS on this statement, this cliche, this little rhyme, but some sad person invented and passed down to generations. We are going to say there is no space for that in our families. That is complete BS. We will not identify with that, that we will not let the fear that that little rhyme brings into our lives, into our hearts, into our heads, into our families, into our future. Absolutely not. We are much better than that, much stronger than that, much smarter than that. And we are saying, no, get away from me with that negativity. My daughter is my daughter for life. My son is also my son for life. And you can get away from me. That's the new rhyme, even though it doesn't rhyme. Okay. Ali Kasaza, quote me. But I think it's like, it's just crazy negative and depressing. These are the kinds of things, like, we've got to stop talking like this. Oh my gosh. And we've got to stop letting people talk to us like this, because your kids are listening and you're listening, and that's bothering you and bringing you down. No. The second idea, the second, like, it's not really like a, it's not like a rhyme like this last one was, but it's just something that is talked about a lot and believed. It's a belief, but it's very common. And that's just that teenagers have to be hard. Like, they just are. Teenagers are just hard. I feel like this is a belief about all teenagers, but really heavily, specifically for girls. I hear all the time, like, oh, it's so great that you have a great relationship with your daughter, but just wait till she's in high school. Just wait till she's a teenager. Oh, just wait till she turns 12. Like, everyone has their, like, age that everything changes. And you know what? I understand that my daughter is a person. She's a human person. She has a different personality than I do. She has different thoughts and emotions and reactions and responses than I do. And I am sure that there are going to be times that I just don't understand her. I don't understand her thought process. I don't understand her choices. I don't understand the reasons that she's upset about various things. That happens now. But I rebuke the lie that teenagers are just so hard and so awful, and there's no way around it. It's just the way that things are. Again, self-fulfilling prophecy. Your words are carrying truth because you said them, because you attached belief to them, because you said that. It matters. And, you know, if you don't believe me or you think I'm being dramatic, like, this is not the show for you, because I am all about watching what you speak into existence. I am so careful. Ask Brian, ask my husband. I am so careful about the way I talk about things when I'm presenting a problem to my husband. I am so careful that the way I'm saying it is not giving the fear power. I am just, like, explaining facts and stating thoughts. I am not giving them weight or power over me, or, you know, letting, like, succumbing to all the emotion and the fear around this idea or this thing I'm worried about. I'm just like, you know, this thought crossed my mind, and I it's kind of sticking with me a little bit. And I want to talk to you about that. Like, what is the truth here? What could we do about this? I'm so, like, ready to fight, ready to do something, ready to take action and not give in to fear. And I think when you have this belief, like, oh, teenagers are just the worst. They're just so hard. Oh, they wreck everything. They're just the worst. Oh, I've got four teenagers. Like, oh, it's the worst. That is so negative. And you are cementing in your own brain how you feel. You're cementing in your reality how things are going to go. And if your kids are around you, you're cementing in them what they are to you. And I don't think that's what any of us want, but I think that we wear that blanket over us a lot. Like, oh, teenagers are so hard. So I'm not a bad parent. It's just that teenagers are so hard for everybody. And, you know, I think if you were confident in yourself, you were confident in your parenting and your decisions in raising your kids, you would be okay with them going through a hard time and not having to, like, identify that with the fact that, like, you know, or the fact, I'm using quotation marks with my fingers and you can't see me, that teenagers are just awful and they're just hard, that you wouldn't need that security wrapped around you, because you would know that, like, you know, my child, it's not that teenagers are just hard all the time and they suck and they're the worst and, like, pity on me because I have teenagers. It's like, wow, my daughter is going through a difficult time, and it's difficult for me right now to understand her, but I'm here with her, and we have a good relationship because I'm here for her. And if she doesn't want me right now, that's okay, but I will be here for her when she decides that she wants me or she needs me. Science shows us that words are incredibly powerful. powerful. The words that you say to people have a serious and deep effect on them. And the words you say about other people have a profound effect on how you feel about them and the words you're cementing in the world. I have personally seen this transform my children, specifically my son Leland. I've shared in a past episode specifically about him and our relationship. He was just my most challenging kid. And for a really long time, I struggled so bad with him and just the way I talked to him. And I didn't know how to handle him. I didn't know how to communicate to him. I didn't ever feel like I had his heart. And I was his mom. I'm his mom. So it really sucked and it hurt. And one day I kind of had this realization and I wondered like what would happen if I stopped solidifying his behavior with my negative words to him and my frustration at him and about him when I was like venting to my mom friends and to my husband. And instead I started speaking positive things about him and over him. And I saw that completely transform his behavior, my way that I felt about him first and then his behavior. But in the beginning of that process, and I've done this again in my marriage, with my business, about issues that have been difficult for me in my life, like with money and our business and our business and money story, different friendships, my relationship with different relatives. I've seen this same pattern follow in the way that it happened with my son and I. But in the beginning, I was scrambling for what to say to my son and what to say to my kids and what positive words to speak over him and over my other kids as well, because I didn't really feel positive. I felt negative, and it's hard to come up with positive words when you're not in that place. So what I've done is I've created a super simple list of positive words specifically for your kids. So these are not a list of words about your business or your marriage. This is specifically designed to be from a mother to her child. These are the words that I use to transform the way I felt about my son and his difficult phase. And then in turn, it transformed his behavior. And you guys, I did not read a parenting book and change anything. This is literally the only thing I did, and it began a serious shift in him. And the download is free, so what have you got to lose? You can go to the show notes for this episode and you can get everything that you need. This again is free. I want to give it to you because I know how important it is. I'm here and I'm rooting for you and I'm supporting you in this. So to get this freebie, I want you to go to aliecasaza.com/shownotes/139. 139. It's totally free. It's right there for you. You can download it and look at it right away. And then just take a screenshot of the page with the affirmations on it, or download it to your mobile device as well as your computer. Just kind of have it with you and on you all the time so you have that list to reference whenever you need it. These are limiting beliefs that, you know, your daughter is always going to be your daughter, but your son is not going to be once he gets married and has a new family. That's a limiting belief. How much depression and fear and awfulness is in that? And yet we say these things because it's almost like we're like protecting ourselves before it happens, like letting everyone know that I know this is going to happen so that when it happens, I don't feel so shocked. And then look at what it's causing moms to have a guard up around their sons. That is not healthy. That's not good. And then teenagers just have to be hard. Like, that's a limiting belief. You are cementing that. The very thing you don't want, that you wish didn't exist, that didn't have to happen, you're making it so. When what you could have done is been aware that a lot of parents struggle with this time of life and had low expectations, but high presence. Low expectations and high presence. Being present with your kids. Being present with your boys, having their heart, talking to them, having a relationship with them, being honest with them and available to them. A son doesn't just get married and like ditch his mom and never talk to her again. That's ridiculous. No to that. Stop believing that. Just because somebody turns 13 doesn't mean they are automatically just awful. And no matter what you've done or what you've taught them or how you are, they are just going to wreak havoc. BS. No to that. That's a limiting belief. The third thing I want to bring up is kind of just the idea of girls, and that girls are just like over emotional and like so hard and like, you know, oh, like kind of like kind of wraps into what we were just talking about. Like, wait till your girl gets older. Like, oh, yeah, look, she's being a girl. Like, oh, just wait till she gets older. Like, when a toddler or a baby is, like, having a complete conniption fit meltdown and somebody, you know, usually, like, a relative is like, oh, well, yep, she's a girl, that's for sure. Look, I have a girl and I have three boys, and they all threw equally disturbing tantrums in the store on multiple occasions. And it wasn't like Bella was like, oh, well, she's a girl, that's why hers were worse. My boys have freaked enough people out in public for me to know that toddlers throw tantrums despite gender. Okay, so everyone can just relax and stop with the, like, sexist toddler speak. Oh, she's a girl. Like, that's why she's freaking out. She's freaking out because she's 2 years old and she hasn't had a snack in 5 hours. Get it together and stop blaming. You're a sexist, and you can also get away from me and my family with that kind of talk. I'm upset right now, you guys. I'm, like, in this. I just feel like there is this book. I actually talked about it and interviewed the author here on the show a long time ago, called Why I Didn't Rebel. And in that book, Rebecca, the author, had interviewed and studied a friend of hers who her mom was constantly doing this self-fulfilling prophecy thing. Like, oh, well, wait till you get older and you're going to rebel against me, and you're going to sneak out. You're going to be a party animal and you're going to sneak out the window. And it's going to be so hard for me to raise you during that time. This mom is, like, speaking this out over her daughter. And that's what ended up happening. And this author is interviewing that girl after she, like, grew up and was in her 20s. And this daughter was saying, like, my mom spoke those things out so much that it was like, that was the expectation for me as a teenager, is to be like that. And so I did. It was expected of me. She talked to me like that so much that that's just what I ended up doing. These things are self-fulfilling prophecies. There are people, I know people in my personal life, my kids are not teenagers yet as at the time that I'm recording this, but I know people who have raised daughters fully that have had amazing relationships with them, and they did not go through any crazy teenager spell. I know people whose daughters did go through a really difficult time as teens, but they were there with them and present with them and just waited for them to be ready to talk and to need them. And the kids didn't rebel or freak out or go off the deep end. They just were going through a hard time, and they recognized that their parents were great parents during that time. I know people who are super close to their sons. My mom is super close to my brothers, both of them. And especially my younger one, because he's not married yet, but he has his own life, he has his own job, and he's, you know, going to be married one day. And I can see it right now. I can see how they'll be. There are people who are living against these stupid fear-based cliches, these lies, these limiting beliefs. And I think that we need to open our eyes and find stories like that. I've shared openly about my postpartum depression and my disconnect because of that with my daughter, Bella. And again, I'll link to that episode at show notes/139 for you guys. But there is really, like, not a lot of reason that I should have the relationship with my daughter that I have today. I worked against what was expected. I worked against what people were saying about me and my relationship with her. I worked against what well-meaning relatives were saying over us that this was going to do to us. You don't have to fall under any stereotype, any cliche, any category. You can do what you feel is right for you and your family and your kids. You can show up for them, and they won't have a horrible teenage experience where they hate you and never come back from that, and they just wreck everything in your life, and they're so disrespectful and so off the deep end. If you're a good parent and you're following your gut and you're prayerfully walking forward in what you know to be your truth as a parent, and you respect your kids, they respect you back, and you talk to them and you're there for them and you listen to them, they feel loved and valued. It just doesn't make any sense. Yeah, they might have period of times where they are just kind of, like, not being themselves, and they're sorry for that, and they come back to that. But is that really worth saying? Like, oh, teenagers are so hard. Like, people, your kids are allowed to make mistakes and have feelings and go through something. So I think that when we focus on the negative, when we focus on these lies and these limiting beliefs, and we gear up for our sons never talking to us, because that's what sons do. We act out in a way that mimics that belief because we're afraid. When you believe that your son is going to be less connected to you because he's a boy and he's going to get married to another woman, you put your guard up and you act that out before it even happens, making it happen. These words are forming your beliefs and you act out of what you believe. So you're acting like these things have happened before they even happen, which in turn makes them happen when the time comes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Like, we've got to stop this. So the next time somebody passes by and is hanging out with you and your family and they mention something like this, say no to that. Push that far away from you. You don't belong there. That's not your story. Who says? Screw that. You make your own story. You're a great mom. You are doing such a good job. This does not need to be your fear, your struggle, your story. No. Please know that what somebody else's experience was does not have to be yours. This was an episode of The Purpose Show. Did you know there's an exclusive community created solely for the sake of continuing discussion surrounding The Purpose Show episodes and to get you to actually take action and make positive changes on the things that you learn here? Go be a part of it. To join, go to facebook.com/groups/purposefulmamas. That's M-A-M-A-S. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're ready to up level and really take action on the things I talk about on my show and get step-by-step help from me, head to alikasaza.com for free downloads. There's also courses there, classes, and ways that you can learn more about what the next step might look like for you and to focus on whatever it is that you really need help with in this season you're in right now. I'm always rooting for you, friend. See you next time.